I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Full time at Tannadice and Celtic are champions. They're huddled behind the board with the league branding on it. They're celebrating. Jota's in crutches, but he's coming over to join the party. Brendan Rodgers sitting in the background, and it is party time at Tannadice. Hugh Keevans, champions again. We've known for months and months and months that this would be the case, but now that they're over the line, how would you sum it up?
I would sum it up by saying that Brendan Rodgers is synonymous with success for Celtic. He has been a fantastic manager on 2 occasions for the club, and he has taken this group of players, added to it, made Celtic a side to be admired. People call it tedious. People say that this is getting boring now. Not if you're Celtic. Celtic have an obligation to Celtic, and they entertain their fans, and they've scored 102 goals so far. And for the 3rd game in a row, they've scored 5 goals after that defeat in Perth. They are giving their all for the club and for the manager. The manager is giving his all for his employers. That's why when Brendan Rodgers meets Dermot Desmond in the summertime, Dermot Desmond must ask Brendan Rodgers if he is interested in extending his contract beyond next season.
Champions again, sing the Celtic fans. Mark Wilson, how would you sum this one up?
Well, once again, an outstanding season. And I have to take Europe into that as well. The adventures and that, and how well they've done and pitted themselves against Bayern Munich. But the league is always your bread and butter, and the consistency shown, their 34th game, their 27th win. Okay, it's not been invincible, but that is the standard that Brendan Rodgers set first time around. He is an elite manager who, in his second spell, has shown that he can handle the pressure that was on his shoulders when he came back to the club again to fill the space left by Ange Postecoglou. He's evolved the squad as well. He has made them play in different ways when needed, but ultimately gets the job done. I don't think it's tedious at all, and I think today's performance shows the variety in their play that has to be admired, like you says.
Yeah, I agree with the lads. You can't can't heap enough praise on them, Gordon, throughout the season. They've had their moments, you always do that. But you touched on it there, the last 3 games they've just been a cut above. Even today, the minute they get the first goal, you think, how many is it going to be? The fans are up there in numbers. Players are celebrating, quite rightly so. It's a long, hard season, and they've done it in style. I thought it would have been a lot harder today. They didn't go off to the best start, but this Celtic team, they just know how to get through the gears, and I thought it was a very good performance.
Yeah, Roger Hanna, they've done it in various ways over the years. They've won so many of these that you've kind of seen it all, but that shouldn't take away from just how consistent they've been this time around.
No, you're absolutely right, Gordon. Congratulations to Celtic. I'll give you a few stats. 5 goals, as you were saying again, for the 3rd straight week. 4 titles in a row, 18 points clear, 16 goals in the league, leading by Dyson Maida. 55 league titles. They've used 31 players, Gordon, and if you can name them all, I'll be enormously impressed. James Forrest, 26 winners' medals, a club record. Callum McGregor hot in his heels with 24. And now there's a 9th treble on the horizon. Brendan Rodgers is correct. This is a golden era for Celtic Football Club. They may face a revitalised challenge for a 49ers back Rangers next season, but that's a discussion for another day, Gordon. Today's about Celtic, today's about Brendan Rodgers, and today is about the players who have dominated Scottish football again this season. They have been streets ahead of everyone else this season. I'm down at Kilmarnock today and I'm just reminded of the quotes from Derek McInnes after Killy lost 5-1 at Parkhead a couple of weeks ago. When Celtic play like that, there's not a team in the country can touch them, and Brendan Rodgers will intend that that remains the case next season.
Yeah, David Field, I suppose you could look at today as sort of representative of the whole season Celtic have had. This is a difficult place to go. This won't change how good a season Dundee United have had. They didn't even perform badly for the entire 90 minutes, and yet Celtic win 5-0 and wrap up another title.
Yeah, Gordon, and look, Brendan Rodgers has been a serial winner over two spells at Celtic, but I just feel he came back this season with a bit of a point to prove. And I know that might sound a bit strange given that Celtic won a double last year, but obviously there was kind of issues when he maybe came back and he probably wasn't himself, and I don't think his team were in his image. But I felt from pre-season this year, and look, Mark will know, you can't always read in to pre-seasons at Celtic because some of the best ones have led to no trophies and vice versa. But Celtic went to America, they put four past Chelsea, they put four past Manchester City. Okay, maybe shadow teams, but just the way Celtic played from the start of the season, they just looked slicker, they looked more in tune with what Brendan Rodgers wanted. And I think they started the season with 14 wins out of 15 in the league. They've been scoring goals, they've had some standout players, Daizen Maeda, Nicholas Kuhn, but also Callum McGregor, who I think has been so important again for Celtic. So I think it's a triumph for all of them, but everything starts from the manager. And as you said, he's going to be so important for Celtic going forward.
Yeah, Fraser Wishart, how would you sum up this one in terms of what's jumped out for you or what's impressed you over the course?
Oh, everything's impressed you for Celtic from the game one. Congratulations to everybody at Celtic Park for winning yet another title, way ahead of the rest. Pretty ominous for the rest of the league and for Rangers, because they've just been terrific. They were good last year, very good last year. And then Brendan Rodgers put a wee bit of pressure on the board. The fans are putting pressure on the board to sign some players. And they did. And they signed Trusty, they signed Ida, they signed Engels. And apart from Engels has now began to get into his stride, but the other two have been bit part players, in and out, in and out. It's the other players that have stepped up and become better, if you like. You know, Nicholas Kuhn's already there, been outstanding. Maeda, everybody talks about him. You know, he's been a wonderful this season. Callum McGregor, for me, is still the key man. I agree with David Frail. You know, he's retired from Scotland, and he's still the guy that makes everything happen for Celtic. And I was struck by Callum McGregor's face, just looking at the pictures from Tannadice, the joy that is there for Callum McGregor. James Forrest, experienced players, winning never ever gets boring and they never take it for granted. So yet again this summer, Celtic will strengthen again, they'll sign new players, they'll become better. And the challenge is for Rangers, can they close that gap over one transfer window with new owners? Probably not. But it's ominous for the rest, and Celtic are just going to get better and better. And after this year in Europe as well, there'll be an expectation for them to do better and play even better next season. So all good for Celtic. They're miles ahead of the rest, and they'll celebrate long into the night and thoroughly deserved.
Yes, congratulations once again to Celtic. Plenty more reaction to come. We will hear from Brendan Rodgers. I'm sure we'll hear from some Celtic players as well. And of course, it's a Saturday, so later on we will hear from you. In the meantime, let's go around the rest of the grounds and find out what lies ahead in the Scottish Premiership. We'll do that when we return.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celebrations continuing at Tannadice. Celtic have won another title. They've swept Dundee United aside today, scoring five, conceding none. Brendan Rodgers and his players lapping up the acclaim of the Celtic fans. We'll give you his reaction when we can. It won't be too far away, and we'll continue the reaction throughout the afternoon. Tweet us your thoughts right now at Clyde SSB, and of course we'll open the phone lines a bit later on. Let's go around the rest of the grounds. Barry Ferguson yesterday, Andrew McLean, said he hopes this one does hurt the Rangers players. He hopes this is, although it's been in the works for a while, everybody knew Celtic would be champions. The day that it's wrapped up should be a reminder of where Rangers need to get to. And they start today to end this season in somewhat of a high, whatever that means, away to St Mirren.
Yeah, well, you said it there. Rangers knew this day was coming. League title confirmed for Celtic, another season for Rangers. Just watching on when the celebrations and those trophy lifts come around. And it is an all too familiar feeling for Rangers, isn't it, over the past decade plus. With the way that Celtic have been going, something has got to change at Rangers. Barry Ferguson knows it, the supporters know it as well. Barry Ferguson saying yesterday that he thinks he can be the man to help get Rangers back to where he thinks they should be, but the decision for that will lie in the hands of the prospective new American owners and new sporting director Kevin Thelwell. All Ferguson can really do now is try and get this team winning consistently up until the end of the season. Five games to go until the end of the campaign. He says they need to be targeting winning all five. It's not that easy though, is it? Wins are hard to come by, especially against St Mirren, because Rangers have lost their last two to the Buddies, who have had a fantastic few weeks, sealing their top six spot for a third consecutive time. You know, another, you know, just bit of evidence to show how good a job Stephen Robinson is doing with St Mirren. The fans absolutely love him here. Europe very unlikely for them this season though. They need to take a minimum of 10 points, I think it is, from their next five games to try and get there, but top six is still a very, very good achievement nonetheless. Stephen Robinson saying that this top six is the best achievement in his time at St Mirren, probably in his managerial career as well. The Rangers fans are singing, they're starting to get a bit lively, but deep down they know that this is not what they want from their team. They don't want to be turning up on days like this when titles are clinched and they are nowhere near it whatsoever. What can Rangers do today though to try and help take a little bit of the sting out? But it won't really, will it, no matter what the result is today. Just looking at the team news, Zach Hemming in goal for St Mirren. The back five, Ryan Alabiosu, Marcus Fraser, Alex Gogic, Richard Taylor and Declan John. The midfield three, Mark O'Hara, Caelan Boyd-Munce and Killian Phillips. It's Mikael Mandron partnering Jonah Ayunga up top. Of course, no Toyosi Olasanya. He got his move to the MLS during the break that St Mirren had there, and they did well actually to get a six-figure fee for him, despite the fact that there's only really three or four working weeks left of the season and his contract was up at the end of the campaign. The substitutes for them are Minsky, Yakoviti, Tanzer, Smith, Kilty, McMenamin, Edowu, Iseni and Scott. Four changes for Rangers after going away to Athletic Bilbao. Balogun, Yilmaz, Hadji and Cherney drop out. Insiala, Proper, Rice and Egeman are in. So it's Liam Kelly in goal, the back five, James Tavernier, John Souter, Robin Proper, Clinton Insiala and Jeff Day. The midfield three, Nicholas Raskin, Mohamed Diamandi and Bailey Rice. Cyril Dessers partnering Hamza Egeman up top. The substitutes, Butland, Cortez, Barron, Barami, Cherney, Hadji, Curtis, McCallion and Danilo. The referee in Paisley today is Colin Stephen and the VAR is Grant Irvin.
Let's hear from both managers then, starting with Stephen Robinson.
To do that three times in a season is unheard of. I think it's 45 years since we last done that at this football club. It's certainly an incentive. Our fans will want it as well, and we won't be turning up and thinking it's a holiday. That's not the way I work. The pressure that we have on us is that the season isn't over. The players have had lots of plaudits, rightly so, but now it's time to finish the season off and end on a real high. And until somebody tells me officially, points wise, we can't get into Europe, then we will certainly be going and trying.
This week's been pretty positive. I've given them a challenge. We've got five games to go and I want 15 points. I'm clear on that. They understand that, and the training week's been really good this week, so we're going to a place where it's going to be difficult. We know that they're a very well-organised team. In my opinion, they've got some very good players and a very good manager, so we will expect a tough game.
An interesting one that in Paisley then. On paper it's the game that's got the least riding on it in terms of league positions or achievement or anything like that, but you can always find a way of finding some interest within those matches, and there definitely will be that in Paisley. Let's go to the ones though that are nervy. Killy, Ross County, Roger Hannah. I wonder if the nerves will play out this afternoon.
Yeah, very possibly. Kilmarnock probably more nervous, I would say, than Ross County. This seems to be an annual event for Ross County, scrabbling away at the bottom once we get after the bottom six splat. And they've made a good success out of it in recent seasons. But Killy, if you remember this time last year, they were in the top six, they were sparkling under Derek McInnes. And their descent this season has been one of the surprises of the bottom six. They've lost three times to County this season. That will be in the back of their minds as they come into this game as well. And it'll be fascinating to see whether they can make a bright start on this slick pitch. The rain's coming down here down in Ayrshire Gordon. The pitch should be good. There really should be no excuses for Kilmarnock this afternoon. They've listed quite an attack-minded side. A couple of strikers, Bruce Anderson and Bobby Wales there. Kyle Vassell, as we said earlier, club captain's back on the bench with the likes of Marley Watkins and Innes Cameron, young David Watson. So there's plenty of firepower there for Killy if they can get going. And if they don't, you just wonder what this bottom six fixture list is going to hold. You wonder what Dundee will get, David Friel's game at Tynecastle today, because they're only a point behind this pair. And you wonder if a point apiece here might be regarded as a good day's work if Dundee were to lose at Tynecastle.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Even if the fans involved aren't, it's a bit easier on the outside. Fraser Wishart, it's difficult to know for sure, but do you think everyone gets that feeling that if St Johnstone were to lose today, maybe even then add in another result or two going against them in whatever shape or form, this would be the end? Do they have to win this one to keep it alive?
Yeah, I think they have to go and try and win every game, Gordon, but I think you're right, today is going to be a pivotal day. I think in the bottom six, St Johnstone just have to go for wins. Draws are no good, 6 points adrift of Dundee. We're talking there, it's dependent on other teams. If Dundee get a result, get a point, or get a win at Tynecastle, then I do think it'll be all over. So same with Vallecari, he's going for it. I mean, his team is so attacking, and the outcome of today's game might be which makeshift defence plays the best, because there's hardly a recognised centre-half on the pitch. There's Balladonis, who I think will wear a mask today, and Dan Casey at the other end. The rest of them are full-backs or midfield players tucked in. So you have to say that I think it could be an open game. But Simon Vallecari is certainly going for it. He's going with two wingers as wing-backs. He's going with three forwards. Graham Carey's in centre midfield. So they've got plenty of attacking options. It might just be at the other end. I think from Motherwell's point of view, a win today, no matter what else happens, it'll pretty much settle that they won't be in the playoff place. I think for me, I don't think if you get to 42 points, all the teams below them are going to take over them. So they need a win, but it's when you get it. Because if they lose today, the morale would be low, losing to St Johnstone. And if the other teams below them pick up the points, it just adds to the pressure for next week. I do think Mother will get there. I think Mother will win this game, and that will just settle the nerves of the fans around here. But I think we're in for an entertaining 90 minutes. I think there'll be a few goals here at Fir Park today.
Different type of pressure on Neil Critchley, David. You know, there certainly would take a spectacular collapse for Hearts to be in trouble, but he could be doing with just finishing this season strongly, couldn't he?
Yeah, it's about results, but it's also about performance. I mean, we've still got 10 minutes to go. It's a decent crowd here. This place is going to fill up, and it's going to be an expectant crowd. Gordon, as we were speaking about earlier on, Hearts just haven't delivered. They haven't delivered enough in big games, but they haven't also delivered just enough in the bread and butter games that you would expect them to be winning easily. He's got his problems today. James Olsen will be a miss. I think Lauren Shankland this season has maybe been mismanaged to an extent in terms of his position. He's obviously not hit the form as well, but will be a loss too. So I don't see much firepower in the Hearts team, I must be honest with you. Obviously Elton Cabangu up front, but there's going to be a big onus on Blair Spittle and Sander Cartum to go and support him, but they're playing against a Dundee team who cannot keep a clean sheet. They've only got one clean sheet on the road all season. As I said earlier, 71 goals they've conceded. To put that into perspective, no other team in the Premiership has conceded over 60. So Hearts should be going here to score goals. However, Dundee with an attacking lineup as well. You know, Fraser's talking about the attacking teams at Fir Park. I mean, Simon Murray, Lyle Cameron, Seb Palmer Holden, Scott Tiffany. Dundee are going to have a go. They have to have a go because they just can't keep clean sheets. So, should be entertaining, but a big crowd here expecting a Hearts win.
Yeah, really, really looking forward to that one for sure. Aberdeen against Hibs, Dave Galloway. They'll now both know Dundee United have been beaten convincingly. I suppose they maybe expected Dundee to lose anyway. But just a massive game going into this one at Pittodrie.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon, and a crowd close to capacity is anticipated. The away section has actually been made smaller to fit more Dons fans in. Hibs have been restricted to about 700 tickets. The atmosphere building up very nicely. This one is a good shout for game of the weekend, Gordon. There's so much resting on it. Aberdeen, I was there last weekend at Hampden. They were very unconvincing in that dramatic Scottish Cup semi-final win over Hearts, and they will really need to do much better to break Hibs' club-equalling records unbeaten league run. But they got the job done nonetheless, and they're on a decent run themselves. Just one defeat in 11 games. Hibs, what can you say about them? Really on a roll. It was great to see David Gray given that contract extension recently. They play some really good football. It's pleasing on the eye. They're scoring goals, and also they've enjoyed three successive clean sheets, which is very, very important. Hibs players, incidentally, today, they will wear black armbands in tribute to former keeper Jim Herriot, who has sadly passed away at the age of 85.
Really looking forward to all the action today. Every single game, listening to Dave Galloway, those teams battling at the right end, European places, third up for grabs. Hearts, Neil Critchley under a bit of pressure. Dundee trying to stay in the division. Motherwell might be looking over their shoulder, and St Johnstone need something quickly if they're going to climb. St Mirren, they might be the ones, the only ones that are in party mode and have a relaxed end to the season. But for Barry Ferguson, he wants to keep standards high at Rangers. And Kelly in Ross County, I can feel the nerves from here. We'll get it all underway when we return.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The dust settling on the day at Tannadice, but Celtic players still celebrating in the changing room, champagne flowing everywhere. They are champions again, and we will hear from Brendan Rodgers very soon indeed. So well done to Celtic once again. We've got huge games though kicking off right now at 3 o'clock. Not only the Premiership, the Championship as well, that we've not even covered off yet. So looking forward to it all. Let's get it started with some Premiership predictions from you lot.
Well, I'll take Rangers to beat St Mirren, Aberdeen Hibs a draw, Kilmarnock to beat Ross County, Motherwell to beat St Johnstone, and Hearts to beat Dundee.
I'll go Rangers to win against St Mirren. I think Hibs will nick it up at Pittodrie. It will be a draw at Rugby Park. Motherwell to beat St Johnstone, Hearts to beat Dundee.
I think I'm going Rangers. I think it'll be tight. I'm going Aberdeen Hibs draw. Here's my big one today. I'm going Ross County down at Kilmarnock Park.
Ooh.
Rugby Park. I'm going St Johnstone at Fir Park, and I'm going Hearts.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. There is tension everywhere, Hugh Keevans. This is what the post-split fixtures are all about.
Yeah, tension everywhere, I can understand. At St Mirren though, it's about attitude.
Sure.
There's no tension. Rangers are now officially second. St Mirren, there's a little club distinction there. If they can have three victories over Rangers in a single season for the first time in 45 years. But it's the approach, the attitude that the Rangers players show in the wake of Celtic 5, Dundee United 0. Elsewhere, you're right, what a weekend it could be for David Gray. Contract extension to be Hibs manager. If he beats Aberdeen, major weekend for him. Kilmarnock and Ross County, two bad lots if we've been perfectly honest. Kilmarnock have lost four of their last six. Ross County have lost five of their last six. They're in a dreadful state, the pair of them. Motherwell, St Johnstone, I just think St Johnstone have gone. And Celtic took care of them last week in the Cup. I think they've gone. And Motherwell will get through that one. But Hearts and Dundee, that's intrigue central for me. Because they're bottom six, they're out of the cup, they're blaming everyone for that except themselves, and if they go down at home, their supporters will really let them know all about it.
I only think St George are gone if they lose today. They need to win. And just listen to Motherwell team, the injuries, everything about them, Gordon, I've just got a bad, bad feeling about it, because I don't think St Johnstone are as bad as what everybody makes out. I know you can say, let's point at the league table, let's point at the points, but on their game against the bottom six, they can win any game at all.
It's funny, because I'll admit this might be a kind of personal anxiety attached to this, Mark, but I think I know what Gordon means. I think St Johnstone might be suited to winning games like this. Also take Hughes coming from, they're 5 points adrift at the bottom and they're favourites to go down. Put it this way, I don't think many Motherwell fans going to Fir Park today will think, we'll be fine here today. I just don't see it.
So much tension around the place now, obviously.
Do you not think they're quite well suited to it as well?
St Johnstone,
because of the way that they play, like they stick to it.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be good enough when they come up against the good teams who can hurt them.
Yeah.
Can this Motherwell team hurt them the way that others do?
Well, that's a big question. And St Johnstone, I said when Vallecari came in, he certainly made a difference, and he certainly added to their squad, and there's one or two players in there that can cause Motherwell problems, no doubt about that. That's going to be a tense occasion today at Fir Park. Struggling to call it. I went for Motherwell when you asked me, but it's going to be tight.
Half-hearted penalty appeal for St Mirren. Killian Phillips goes down. Didn't look much in it, and nothing comes of it in the end. Two Ross County corners inside the first minute at Rugby Park as well. told us what?
Down at Kilmarnock Park.
Ross County. Down at Kilmarnock Park next to the rugby park.
Why do other teams not just call their stadium that?
Kilmarnock Park.
Oh, you got Celtic Park. Kilmarnock Park.
That's boring.
Rangers Park. Yeah, just keep it on the park.
Hold on. We need to look at the championship. Are we saying that we're big Morton supporters this afternoon?
100% we're Morton supporters. Come on, Morton.
Yeah, we should look at the championship as well.
Did we not send anybody there?
Let's remind ourselves of the picture after last night. Mark Wilson and co, a famous win. Brilliant. Against Falkirk, meaning that Falkirk have still got a lot of work to do to try and win the championship and get promotion. Partick Thistle go 3 points clear of Raith Rovers in the last playoff spot. But that's why Gordon Dale's alluding to the fact that it's Raith Rovers Morton today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big one. Raith obviously beat Falkirk last week. They were behind for so much of that game, then scored three goals in about 5 minutes to win that. So that was a big win for them. And they'll be looking for the same again. They've been on a great run, but Morton will be looking to finish the season strongly. So if Morton win, then that'll confirm.
I've got to say, Mark, I'm going to burst your bubble. I fancy Raith to get 6 points in the next two games. They've got Morton at home and Queen's Park at Hampden. A fancy 6 points puts a bit of pressure on this man standing, and I love to see his face.
The league's too unpredictable for that, I think. I mean, to be perfectly fair, when Stuart Bannigan went off last night for Partick Thistle, they were bang up against
it. They've got
and 1-2-1.
Marky Mourinho in the dugout. He knew how to change it against 11 v 10. I told him it's always harder to play against 10 men, didn't
you? Did you know what you were going through my mind stage? You were also going through my mind when you would say you would play two up front even when you went down to 10 men.
Okay, well, there's a problem. That is the worst episode of Live Rate. He's just choked and spat his coffee all over. This was a once proud radio show. It's been going for years on a Saturday afternoon, the staple for people to tune in, out the score. He spat his coffee all over Mark Wilson's jacket.
That's nice.
In the studio.
I can only,
what's wrong?
This man's just absolutely killed me. I was everything in the timing.
I wouldn't be donating your body to medical science, you know.
Oh God. Oh, and here's a double blow for you. I know what's coming.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Motherwell nil, St Johnston 1. We just spoke about it. St Johnston have that attacking team. They've got players at the top end of the pitch that can hurt, and they have scored early on. It was a cross from the left hand side, converted inside the box by Mackenzie Kirk, who has looked dangerous. A really, really good finish, and they take the lead at Fir Park.
I was going to give Mackenzie Kirk a mention just when I said that they have players that can hurt you. And what about his goal last week? I was ruled out. So he's a player high in confidence, and what a big goal that could be. Fast start for St Johnston. Motherwell banger against it.
I said St Johnston. I said that. I've got a funny feeling for him. I think that it could be a big, big afternoon for him. If they can win at Fir Park, we're all expecting Hearts to beat Dundee. And all of a sudden, it's very, very nervous times down the bottom of the league.
Yeah, Motherwell probably just looking for that one point that keeps them up, Gordon. But that's always a dangerous place to be, really, isn't it? We've seen that before.
Yeah, look, they've lost an early goal, so there's still plenty of time in this game. You know St Johnston will give you up chances, but they're always a threat at the other end as well, Gordon. So Motherwell just need to be careful. No panics yet, but just keep their cell in this game.
I don't know, I take your point, there is a long way to go, but the first goal between these teams tends to be really quite important, doesn't it? And when you look at, you know, Motherwell in recent weeks, They just don't score many.
Yeah, St Johnston went back to back with Motherwell at McDermott.
Was the end at Stuart Kettlewell's year, wasn't it?
Yeah, so they'll fancy their chances. And as I say, they've got a threat through the middle. They can score goals. Mackenzie Kirk, as we talked about, Mark said there last week, what a goal he scored, obviously disallowed. But he's a real, real threat.
Let me tell you the big score. League champions Clyde Bank got their trophy today. They're now four up against Glenafton as they approach the Lowland League next season. Well done, the Badgies.
Well done indeed. Don't forget, reaction to come from Celtic's title win. Brendan Rodgers will be enjoying the champagne, I think. Then we'll hear from him. No goals yet in the Championship. If we can tear Mark Wilson's eyes away from it for a couple of minutes. What did you make of last night then? Any complaints about the red card your guys received, Stuart Bannigan?
If I'm honest, probably not. First one certainly a booting. Second one maybe touch off, but still you can't probably tackle like that when you're on a booting. So no, none at all. I've got to say, I didn't think the Falkirk one was a sending off. I didn't think at the time it was a sending off, and then having seen it again, so a wee bit of fortune goes in our favour. And at that time, that does change the game because it's all one way traffic at that point, and we are trying to just make it difficult for Falkirk. But as soon as it goes 10v10 and we've got every intention of winning the game, that's when we change things a wee bit, and we're lucky enough to get the goal right at the end. It's always good when you get at the last actual kick of the ball, and the fourth official said to me, "That's it, there is no more time," even when they take centre. It's always a big relief.
The last kick was a header.
Yeah.
Well, he's a busy man, Matthew McDermott, who gave that red card for Falkirk last night, because he's the VAR in Paisley. Well, he'll be in Clydesdale House, but nevertheless.
Your man, Stuart Bannigan, he'll need to calm down. Those were his 13th and 14th bookings of the season last night.
He doesn't hang about. He just came back from a 2-game suspension as well, where the team misses him. He's such a top player at that level.
I'd love to get your thoughts on Michael Vimmer's touchside attire. Someone sent me a picture of it today.
Nice.
I just can't see you in that. It's jeans first and foremost.
Don't like it.
And a sort of, I don't know what colour you'd call that. I'm colourblind, remember, but maybe some sort
of... Are you? You're colourblind?
Well, loosely. Some sort of clay, kind of light grey coloured Canada goose jacket, we kind of cagoule thing.
Let's see. We got it.
I'll find it for you in a second.
I'm not having that, you.
A jeans?
Nah.
No. Standards.
You're a guy that sets the standards there. Look, I know it's completely different from my time with the sharp Hugo Boss suits and stuff like that.
And there was nothing sharp about it.
big baggy
parachutes.
The right. Baggy tracksuits.
Hugh, you ready to do your first half teaser?
I am.
Let's do it. Oh my goodness, the buttons are all over the place. Let's do it, come on.
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Can you name the last three Celtic and the last three Rangers players to score post-split league goals who are no longer at the club? Can you name the last three Celtic players and the last three Rangers players to score post-split league goals who are no longer at the club?
And it doesn't include loans, it's just permanent sort of moves only. I quite like that one. So let's see what you can come up with. At Clyde SSB, it is a race. You need to do it faster than everyone else. So get in and let us know. At Clyde SSB. Any more goals to tell us about? Inverness 1 or both 0 in League 1, or both have already won the league though, so I don't think they'll care. And nothing else doing at the moment.
No.
The Seagulls.
My grandson won a league cup with his team last week, and he's away to Brighton today to see them play.
Well, the Seagulls are having a good day. One's away with my lunch and they're off to a good start.
I hope they're really enjoying that pastry that they nicked off you.
I was honestly devastated.
They're lethal in that car park.
But still, seagulls live by the sea.
It's a good point.
I don't think they're called seagulls. They're just gulls. You know that?
Clyde gulls.
Yep. Well, you get the River Clyde.
You call them
the
seagulls,
the
but they're gulls.
The River Clyde's down at the bottom of the road.
Topi Keskinen goes round the goalkeeper. The ball cleared off the line, but the flag was up. Liam Kelly's just done well. He had to claw across away before it got to the head of Jonah Ayunga. So a fairly low key start in Paisley.
Key start by Rangers, but St Mirren had a penalty claim, and now you're describing that chance there. I just wondered, for me, the whole day for Rangers is about attitude. How bothered are these players going to be and show
I think because Barry's in charge, I think he'll try and demand that, Hugh. I know what you're saying. And also, there's a big game coming up next week that everybody wants to play in, because it's the best game in the world to play in, and you want to be starting that, especially at home, especially after the feeling of winning the last one at Celtic Park, especially the fact that Celtic are coming crown champions.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go down the road and say, well, I'll question their atmosphere, their attitude. But St Mirren will make it difficult, no doubt.
Well,
any other goals going in? Not yet. There was a full time Chelsea 1 Everton 0 from the English Premier League earlier, but nothing much. A fairly quiet opening to the day.
And the only goal we've got would have to be against your team.
Do you know what? I don't take any pride in it, but I think Gordon Dell and I would try to tell you.
So what you're making then, Michael Vimmer, so far?
I think you have to be honest and say that obviously you cut him some slack. It's not his players, and he's not long in the door, and he's still got injuries and so on. But Ibrox aside, there's been very little.
Yeah, that's a standout performance
to shout about. It's the only magnificent. It's the only one.
Tactically, it was great, but it's just not worked in the other games. So I think for Vimmer, you do need a pre-season.
100%.
To really just
no doubt about it.
Those ideas. Never mind signings. If you've got, will Motherwell make a lot of signings? Even if they do or they don't, he needs time.
We'll have to trim the squad first of all, because they've got about 35.
Of course, yeah. Big summer then ahead for them.
I'm with you, Gordon. I think that, you know, he's not hit the ground running, has he? Yeah. Let's be honest about it. But you've got to be fair on the guy. It's not his players. It's not his team. He has to get to the end of the season. Get his own ideas over and mark quite well.
Try and stay up first, though.
I think they will. I think they will, as Air United go one up against Queen's Park. Jamie Murphy
still plugging away at Jamie Murphy. Yeah.
And fair play to Air, because they are. They've got nothing to play for. They do need to. I suppose you want to try and get into the playoffs with a bit of good form behind you, don't you?
Of course. I think Scott will be disappointed in the last couple of weeks how things have panned out, because they were genuine title contenders at one stage, fell behind. Then the race for second was on, but Livingston obviously took care of them last week. So been a wee bit of a disappointment, but certainly in the playoffs he'll look to drum up that atmosphere again. And it's almost seen just like a cup competition.
Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, has Queen's Park appointed the manager yet?
No, not yet.
No, this is caretaker then.
So still Stephen McLean's in charge, along with Sean Crichton, I think. He's so number two.
If you don't get the Thistle job, you apply for it. you feel like you've mastered the championship.
You're making a big name for yourself in this game.
The results as they come in highlight the kind of season Rangers have had. Motherwell, you said the only performance that they've had under Michael Vimmer, Ibrox, beat Rangers. Air United beating Queen's Park. Queen's Park in free fall. Only result they had? Beating Rangers at Ibrox. That's why the fresh investment is so necessary. That's why the 49ers and Andrew Kavanagh are crucial to Rangers' future.
A big chance for Elton Cabangu. McCart finds him inside the box, but he pulls it wide. They were very unsettled, grumpy, should we say, for the Hearts fans earlier on, moaning at everything. But they're starting to calm down a bit and should have hit the target there, Elton Cabangu.
Well, as I say, the club, it's just one long anxiety attack there, where the supporters are concerned. They really have not taken to Neil Critchley. They certainly have not taken to the results. Bottom six out of the cup. And they have not taken to the club making excuses, blaming everyone except themselves. And the KMI panel, for example, in the week, saying that the decision that John Beaton took to send off Michael Steinbender was absolutely correct. So, yeah, move on.
I think the more telling one, I'm sure you all cancelled your Friday night plans to watch the VAR review last night. But was more on the second one, because that's the one that really annoyed Hearts, the second booking to Cammy Devlin. Mm-hmm. And of course it's a second booking, so VAR can't get involved, but I think Willie Collum still wanted to almost sort of get it off his chest, just to remind everyone there's nothing VAR can do because it's a second booking everywhere in the world. However, if VAR was allowed, he doesn't think that would have been overturned. It's not an error. It's a sort of subjective one that can go either way. Uh-huh. It's not a big error. And the next step, he didn't say this, but you would have to imagine then not statement worthy. You know, it's a subjective one. Cammy Devlin commits a foul, John Beaton thinks it's a booking. You might think it's harsh, you might get away with a booking, but not one of these ones that goes down as a big official error that, you know, has to be looked at.
Roger Hara called it correctly Monday night, last Monday night on Super Scoreboard, when he said that the statement was a massive exercise in deflection from Hearts. And even their own fans aren't buying it.
I've got to say, I thought he was very hard done by. I don't know if it was a case of maybe he's had one or two wee niggly ones before at Gordon, and he was on his last warning. I think Big Marvin was talking about in Tuesday night's programme, because everybody's been there. The ref will just have a quiet word in your ear and say, look, one more and you're gone. So you just need to protect yourself. So if it's only for that tackle, the second, I think he's very harshly dealt with.
But this is what I'm saying. It's still one of those sort of subjective calls that might be a bit harsh.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a letter getting in from a club.
Because everyone says, yeah, but we should all be in this together. We should want to drive up standards, which is absolutely true. I think we would all like that. But does it not sort of demean your argument or take away from the real mistakes and the real injustices when you start getting all hung up on
everybody will start doing that? Yeah,
and every club does it when it suits them.
Yeah. No, certainly they should have been aggrieved at it, but there was no need to go to the lengths that they are. But it sums up where Hearts are.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, you are right, and Roger said that they were looking for something to appease their fans, and I don't think that was worthy of that decision.
Anyway, they've not scored yet. It is goalless in that one. It's goalless pretty much everywhere apart from Fir Park, where St Johnstone have the lead against Motherwell. Motherwell with a shot over the bar as they tried to respond, but nevertheless, it's the league's bottom side, and I suppose we can keep doing the old as things stand, can't we, at this stage of the season?
Yeah, it's in that stage.
We don't mind doing that after the split. I think you're certainly allowed to, and certainly would shake things up at the bottom.
Listen, I totally agree. I think if St Johnstone can get something day, it really puts pressure on one or two clubs just above them. I think Motherwell, Hearts are certainly gone. They'll not get dragged into it. I think Motherwell will be the same. Yes, it'd be great to get a point. I just look at that other game there, Kilmarnock, Ross County. That's massive, isn't it? At Rugby Park.
Rangers are pretty slack, and Barry Ferguson's getting very frustrated on the touchline, Hugh.
Yeah, well, see, that's my suspicion. You're not dealing with 11 Glaswegians. You've got the arch Rangers man Barry Ferguson as the manager, but the rest possibly don't feel the same way about the club that he does, and they're thinking, well, Celtic are the champions, but so what do we do? And I do understand that when it's Rangers Celtic next weekend, it will be a different story, but I think it's hard to convince some of them that this is really an important day.
I think what's interesting as well about that, Gordon, is the team lineup, because some Rangers fans wanted young players to get a chance because they think, well, the season is gone, it's done, so you might as well. Barry Ferguson saying yesterday, though, he's not just going to do that for the sake of it, they have to earn it and so on, which we always hear, right, and that's fine. But again, the fans are now turning up today and saying, what is the point? Your Bailey Rice is playing fine, but other than that, you know, if you go and pick what's so-called full-strength team, and it doesn't even really perform anyway, and even if you do get a win, you can understand why fans maybe wanted to see it mixed up a bit.
100%, but I think Barry's looking at from a, and quite rightly so, a selfish point of view, because he's thinking and he's stating that he still feels that he could do the job, so he wants to finish in a high and he wants to win.
Not agree with that.
I don't agree. I don't think Barry will get the Rangers job now. I think you're right, the Rangers fans turning up there. I agree with Barry Ferguson, the fact that if you play young players, they've got to earn the right, but surely Rangers have got one or two young players there who would excite the fans and just give them something different, a bit of freshness, whatever it may be. I know Bailey Rice is in this afternoon, he's a good prospect, but I think Barry and the staff are looking at it from their point of view to go, we want to finish the season on a high.
Raskin fires a shot well wide from 25 yards.
It always intrigues me that, though, when Rangers fans play the young players a lot of them will not have an idea who the young players are. So
I think even just like Finlay Curtis and guys that have featured a bit.
I was going to come on to him because Barry Ferguson has played him, you know, so he has to take credit for introducing him a bit more and Bailey Rice. But there isn't a group of eight young players sitting ready to come into that Rangers first team. So I think he's doing his best, but I think Daz is right. He'll want to keep his chances to the best he can possibly be. Whether we think he's getting the job or not, he'll still believe there's an opportunity, and that means playing those international standard players against, let's be honest, the Rangers individuals are better than the St Mirren individuals, but it's just not clicking for him.
Oh, big chance for Dundee. It was Astley. You think he's never going to let you down, but he did. Oh. He should have picked it. He should have slipped it. He should have slipped it to Murray, decided against it, and the shot deflected wide. Big opportunity gone.
Well, that's the last thing in the world that the Hearts fans need to see Dundee taking the lead.
Do you know, I'm actually sitting thinking that song to throw in a one liner, and I can't get it.
Well,
he'll always run around though.
Oh, yes.
He'll always put the effort in.
Yeah, I like it. You're in fire.
Astley always had a rick in him.
Don't mind it. Kevin Nisbet looked set for a tap in at the back. This is not a pun, by the way. It's just an update from a different game. Kevin Nisbet looked set for a tap in at the back post, but a great clearance to get it away from danger. It was Leighton Clarkson with the cross.
He's big game up there. Big game.
Yeah, really. What
happens on now? 20 games.
17.
17
unbeaten.
It's incredible, Ron.
Marvellous
where they've come from. And I think that's why, as much as Hearts fans like to concentrate on themselves, see when you look across the city and you see what David Gray's achieved and where Hibs are, that adds a lot of pressure to you.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt it does. Because we've spoken before, look, missing out in the top six is poor from Hearts, but actually the number of points Neil Critchley has picked up isn't terrible.
Not bad,
it's just not. In fact, if anything, it's more towards the other end of the scale. But in a city where you're so far behind your rivals, it puts the spotlight on all the negative stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then you've got you had a good opportunity last weekend, Gordon, to get to a Scottish Cup final, which would have helped you. Of course it would. Look, I'm fed up seeing clubs just sack manager after manager after manager. Got to give a bit of time, a bit of patience. And if he gives him another transfer window, I would agree with that. I don't think he'll leave Hart.
Maybe our both are in party mode. They've won the league already. There's a big goal at the top of the championship though, and the bottom. Or maybe it's the middle, depending on how the appeal goes. But Hamilton Accies 0, Livingston 1. It's one of the four championship nominees for Player of the Year, Robbie Muirhead with the penalty. And as things stand,
Falkirk
level with
will
Falkirk
be ahead
on
in goal
points.
Difference. Yeah, wow, that is going to be tense. Because at one stage, just a few weeks ago, it looked like Falkirk were just running away.
Maritime, Mark.
One up against Wraith with less than 10 minutes to go to win the league, to now find yourself in this position. Wow, what pressure's on your shoulders next week.
Tell you what, you talk about managers of the year, this guy could be in the running. Ask Fraser if he's came with a late run.
Who, Mark Wilson?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Give me Brian.
It's not just about staying in the SPFL, of course, at this time of the season. It's about trying to get there. And I don't know if you've noticed as well, but East Kilbride play Brora today.
Where's it at?
East Kilbride,
East Kilbride first. So of course, two-legged tie. The winner of that then plays whichever team finishes bottom of League 2 for the 42nd space in the SPFL next season. And East Kilbride are 1-0 up after about 25 minutes or so.
And the bottom team in the League 2 are Bonnyrigg Rose. And East Kilbride would fancy that, I think.
Yeah, still a difficult job to get through this one, but they would be really hoping to take a good lead up to the Highlands next week. Is it next week? Weekend, I take it, Gordon. It'll not be midweek, surely.
I think it is next weekend, up to Brora.
We wish them all the best.
Been up that neck of the woods, Brora?
Yeah, I went up there with you. I played a few teams up there in the Cup as well. Never lost in the Highlands.
I played in a Scotland schoolboys game up there in Brora against Holland. And pretty certain, was it Robin was playing in it?
Seriously?
That time,
was he?
I'm sure someday, and there was another one.
I know, as I speak
Harry
here.
Robin.
Roger Hanna's probably on the title already.
You know, Scotland Schoolboys.
No, I said I've never lost in the Highlands, but Inverness the Highlands.
Inverness is a Highlands.
I've never had a police escort out of Brora.
Lovely part of the world.
I'm actually glad you mentioned it, Mark Wilson, because it reminded me to give a mention to the Scotland Schoolboy under-18s. They've been victorious in this year's Centenary Shield. Finished unbeaten after draws against Northern Ireland and Wales, and they beat Republic of Ireland and England 6-2. Always nice at home. So it's the first time since the year 2000 that they've won it outright, and it's only the fifth Scottish squad to win it outright since the competition began in 1973. So well done to all involved.
Yep, one of our players is there, the right back, William Rooney. Well done, he went and got his medal the other night, so a big moment. So well done to the Scotland Schoolboys under-18s.
Yes, well done to them. I was asked during the week to give them a mention, just give them the recognition they deserve. So well done to all involved. Motherwell threatening with a shot from outside the box. A relatively routine save for Andy Fisher.
I bet you've seen him play down at Capel against England in that game. Aye, boy, for Morton scored four. Unbelievable.
Oh, Mark. Boy. Mark Wilson.
Oh, Raith Rovers nil, Morton one. Mark Wilson. Oh, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. What was that gesture?
I mean, it's just a celebration. Is it not?
Oh, that's a red card.
That's a red card.
A long way to go.
Is the compliance officer watching the cameras in the studio?
I like this studio. There is no evidence.
No, there are cameras.
And by the way, are these cameras still recording these ones?
You never know.
Yeah.
Where do you put that sort of material? Because you never see any of this going out.
Don't you worry about that. Anyway, Raith Rovers nil, Morton won. Grant Gillespie with a penalty after 28 minutes, which is a result that suits Partick Thistle, of course, in the hunt for that fourth spot, the final playoff place.
It's huge playoff places, not just ourselves, but those other clubs. See, in terms of budget and stuff, and obviously getting fans in through the door for the playoff games, it means a lot. So that's where these things are, a good system, especially in the Championship. It's a long way though from finishing fourth in the Championship to making it to the Premiership. Of course, Thistle almost did it a couple of years ago. Minutes away at Dingwall, weren't they?
Yeah.
Go figure, Ayr United and Queen's Park, because Queen's Park are 2-1 up now at Ayr. It's not a game that is going with the form guide, that one, and that shakes things up at the bottom. Remember that Ibrox goal hero Seb Drozd, he's not done much since, he scored the first. Roddy McGregor has the second, and Queen's Park winning 2-1 at Somerset Park. If Scott Brown wants his team to keep momentum up going into the playoffs, this is not it so far.
No. It's just been a bad day so far. They lost 5-0 recently, didn't they?
Against Livingston.
Livingston
last
took
week.
Five off them, so it's all gone a bit sour.
It is a bizarre league, and obviously consistency plays a huge part at the top end, but anybody could beat anybody in that league. And Queen's Park falling like a stone and looked like they were heading for that playoff.
It's not getting much better for Rangers. Liam Kelly with a bit of a wayward kick, it goes straight to Mikael Mandron. He probably should have scored, but he blasts it wide in the end, and the Rangers fans not really enjoying this so far.
Yeah, I think Hughes called it. I think Barry will not be happy with the opening, 29-30 minutes, and Simmons given up a good chance here. Really should have punished Rangers. But it was always going to be tough, because St Mirren are a good side. They're well organised.
But at the end of a week in which you
it's a bit
state,
of a sitter actually, according from Andrew McLean.
Well, he's a lucky man then, Barry Ferguson, because at the end of a week in which you state that you want the Rangers job and you will make Rangers a better club, and I'm quoting Barry Ferguson, you cannot days later lose to St Mirren for the third time in the same season.
And that's why, to go back to the sort of young player thing, Gordon, if most people are saying that there is no set of results here that gets Barry Ferguson this job, why not show a sign of then just kind of, you know, looking to the future or whatever? That's the bit, because you understand his perspective. He maybe doesn't see it that way.
100%. I think if Barry seen it that way, and Barry's putting a statement out there saying, look, as long as I'm in charge of this club, I want to win every game. So if you're going to sacrifice playing younger players, and Mark's right, there's not seven or eight of them just sitting there a wee bit felt, you know, deprived of making your a debut are going and playing today at St Mirren. You've got to earn the right. There's no doubt about that. And remember, they've got a big game coming up next week as well.
Hugh, if you could remind us of your teaser, please, that would be much appreciated.
Can you name the last three Celtic players and the last three Rangers players to score post-split league goals and they're no longer with the club?
Lots of people getting pretty close. Scott McScott wants to throw in Ben Davies, I think.
No, not there.
Just Davies, he says. Okay, that's not correct. Most of the others are getting pretty close though, so take that one out and that might help you. Yeah, I can see. I'm quite impressed with the standard.
Yeah, yeah.
That's coming in.
Callum, I know who you're saying.
Callum Gallagher wants to throw in Fashion Sakala.
Not there.
Okay, keep guessing. At Clyde SSB. Shall we hear from Brendan Rodgers for the first time?
Yeah.
Title winning Brendan Rodgers. Here's what he had to say about that achievement today.
We're very happy, firstly, for our players because of what they've given to this season. Their mentality, their work. You know, I've said before, but it all boils down to an idea of how you want to play, working your socks off, and having the club values at heart and everything that you do. And this team have, you know, they've shown every moment of that right the way through the season. So, and when we've needed to, we've turned up. And that's the reality. We knew this was going to be a tough game. And it was a tough game, despite the scoreline. We had to stand up for the first 15 minutes. Be strong, be aggressive, do all the things you have to do, do the dirty work. And then from that, our football comes into it. And they score five and could have had more.
Well, you know, Brendan Rodgers has called it correctly all season long. And he always goes on about mentality and hard work. I always remember a Brendan Rodgers phrase that he used to use in his first time around when he said, respect the work. And his team do that. And he mentions club values at heart. And when they need to, they turn up. Well, they had to today. And they had to last week in the Cup. And they had to against Kilmarnock in the game before that. And they've scored 15 goals in those three games. So mentality, hard work, Celtic have it in abundance.
He is quick to point that out, and especially in recent weeks, because I think that's, he's keen to get that message across when maybe he's, criticism isn't the right word, but people obviously writing articles, it's tedious. Some people, oh, it's boring. But he knows the hard work that goes into the plan, the strategy, then the players carrying that out behind closed doors, probably the arguments and the difficult decisions he's made to make the season look easy to others. He knows that's certainly far from easy, so I think he's right to point that out.
Livy are strolling now, two up.
Yeah, Robbie Muirhead again with the goal. Hamilton Accies 0, Livingston 2. Remember, Hamilton Accies' appeal will be heard on Thursday, so we wait and see what that points deduction looks like.
Will they get a result? They won't get a result before the end of the season, would they?
Yeah, no, I think it's going to
get
be
a result on Thursday.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, right, okay.
But it has to be, I don't think there's any option because obviously what hangs in the balance, yeah. The playoff places, how it affects the league below, the teams above.
But anyway, they're 2-0 down today. You just, because this is so unprecedented at this time of the season, I don't really know the possibilities, Hugh. The thing that would be going through my head at the moment would be, what if most of the deduction stays in place but a couple of the points get shaved off, or some of the points, you know, they might need something here, they might need something, yeah, next week. And it's very difficult to know.
I remain convinced by my initial reaction that the punishment was so swinging that it's not the sort of punishment you can climb down from on an appeal.
I'm trying to go along the same lines as you. I think I'll be amazed if they overturn that. I really do. But listen, Hamilton are quite right to appeal. Their championship status depends on it. And you're right, Gordon, they've got to concentrate and try and get some points on the board. Next week they go to Falkirk, who's looking to tie up the title.
Yeah.
What a day that could be. All things considered, I don't know if it's too much beat the pundit excitement. Scott Allen's Kelty Hearts losing 2-0,
yeah,
up at Cove. Mitch Meginson.
How's their results been actually after Charlie?
Mixed, I think. They won
the
won the first, lost the second. Would that be right? Yeah, I think so. Oh, we've got a goal in the big one at Rugby Park. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. 2-1 because Kilmarnock have gone 1-0 up against Ross County thanks to a Bruce Anderson header. And goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Hearts 0, Dundee 1, and it's that man Simon Murray. Gordon Dale's been banging the drum to get him some recognition in the Player of the Year stakes, and he has scored again. It was Danny Armstrong who crossed for Bruce Anderson, and there was another cross in the other game, and it was a low finish from Simon Murray.
He's listen, he deserves to be in that four. I thought he was a bit hard done by with the Team of the Year. Okay, I understand Albie's had a real good season, but Simon Murray's been excellent. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Everyone's woken up all of a sudden. It's Motherwell 1, St Johnstone 1, an equaliser for the Steelmen. It's been a powerful low finish. It was Tony Watt with the cutback, and there, arriving, it was Callum Slattery to divert the ball low into the back of the net. He's been a rare sort of shining light for Motherwell in recent weeks. He's been one of the better attacking threats. He scored another, and we're level at Fir Park.
All getting lively now. Apart from St Mirren Rangers and Aberdeen Hibs, they are the only goalless ones. But Tynecastle, that's the place. That really is the place. With Dundee a goal up, the fans will not take kindly to what's going on here. And David Friel at half time, I'm sure, will be talking about a place that's turned toxic.
Yeah, also, if you look at Robbie Park, that could be a massive goal for Derek McInnes down there. If they can get a 3 points. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Motherwell buses, is there a phrase? St Johnstone 1, Motherwell 2. Johnny Katrumbis is trying to claim it. It might go down as an own goal, but either way, the Steelmen are in front.
Told you, St Johnstone are going.
Yeah, go just on. Before half time. Crucial to one, get back in the game. But then, you know, get your second. Oh, just changes the whole flow of that one.
Yeah, and that will secure them. Obviously, they'll not need to worry in the next few games.
There is a VAR check for offside against Tony Watt in the build-up.
Tony, what are you doing to us? It's offside. Oh, I can see by your face.
I don't know yet. No, it was Fraser updating as he's crossed it for the goal. He's the initial one to run forward in the cross. Katrumbis might actually be about to miss, and it whacks a St Johnstone player in the head. It's hard to tell if it was on target or not initially. But we're just double checking on that. The goal is given, so Motherwell do lead at home to St Johnstone. What a period, 5 minute, 2 minute period that was in the bottom six in particular, because it would move Motherwell up, what's that, onto 42 points.
Yep.
And of course St Johnstone would be staying bottom anyway, but Ross County, they now trail. And Dundee winning at Hearts as well. So
I went today for Motherwell. That's it. They don't need to worry. They're
play the kids.
Yeah, they're not getting dragged into it. Play the kids.
I think it's their Player of the Year awards tonight as well. So they won't want to. It's always an awkward night if you go on the back of a defeat.
Bit of a dampener that. Yeah, I had that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, home against Hamilton.
That Hamilton defeat.
Yeah,
was your Player of the Year.
Yeah, right after.
He kept
it.
That quiet.
Wow. That's what the night was. Quiet. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. St Mirren have probably just about been the better team. However, it's Rangers that take the lead, and it's Cyril Dessers. He got the ball from Nicholas Raskin, fired it low, and it'll have cheered Barry Ferguson up slightly. It's not been a vintage performance, but Rangers are ahead in Paisley.
And that's all he asks of the day. Don't leave Paisley having lost to St Mirren for the third time in the same season. Leave Paisley having left behind your credentials for getting the Rangers manager's job, if 49ers Enterprises are even remotely interested in you. You have to keep going, you have to be winning. You don't give the job to someone who's not winning matches.
How many goals is that he scored now, Dessers? He still comes in for incredible sticks sometimes, but he knows where the back of the net is. He can score goals, this guy. I really like him, I've taken to him. He'd be my Player of the Year for Rangers.
Oh, for Rangers. This is 24th of the season.
It's a good return. All
100% about Dessers. I think that's the least of their problems. People elsewhere on the pitch is probably their main problems. But he does miss chances. But does he get a lot of them? Does he get a lot of service for his goals conversion? I think he's doing pretty well with it. By all accounts, this is a good one that he takes. And Rangers haven't really been in this game at all.
Hibs have a goal disallowed, so it was a ball I think knocked over his own line in the end by Knuster. Referee disallowed it, so we'll see if there's any update on that one. A good time to score and all that, as they say though, Gordon, because it would have been it's an uninspiring Rangers performance, the type that would have led to a few grumbles probably at half time. But it's a tough place to go, so if you take any sort of lead in at the break, you probably got to just take that
I think when you turn up at St Mirren, the main aim, just get the 3 points, win the game, because you know it is going to be difficult. You know St Mirren will throw everything at you. Stephen Robinson's is doing a terrific job there. Terrific job. Well organised, physical as well. So they would always be a handful. So for Rangers performance, okay, if you can get it, but most important, win the game.
Do one quick reminder of your teaser, Hugh, and we'll round it up during the break. That's what we'll do.
Okay. Can you name the last three Celtic players and the last three Rangers players to score post-split league goals, but they're no longer at the club?
And remember, I said it's all about permanent here, so loans in and loans out don't count. Which, to be fair, I know it's a tricky caveat. So Callum wanted to Jordan wanted to throw in Fabio Silva.
No.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah, and Greg's Garden says Luis Palma, but that's a loan. We've got another goal in Paisley. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. And Rangers' lead did not last long. It's the skipper for St Mirren, Mark O'Hara, who levels things up. And just before the break, it's St Mirren 1, Rangers 1.
And that changes the complexion of the Rangers' dressing room at half-time, because Barry Ferguson will be in about his players. That's not good enough for him.
Yeah, you know it's Mark O'Hara, of course you do. You can hear the horn peeping.
Do you realise that sometimes people might listen to this show for the first time and have no idea what your references are?
I used to. I'm so not really kidding.
Very quickly, for the 100th time, Mark O'Hara once came in on the show and he left his girlfriend in the car outside, and Gordon Dale thought this was hilarious. Okay, yeah. We move on. We're levelling Paisley, Hugh.
Yeah, and that is the most important thing. I have to go back to Barry Ferguson saying, "I will make Rangers better." And that's fine. That's a fine advertising slogan. But if you then turn around and lose the very next game, then the slogan's bust.
I think the problem with it, Hugh, as well, is it's still not even the two things are possibly unrelated, because let's just say it was to be Barry Ferguson. You have to assume the full thing would look different next season anyway. And I'm not saying automatically better, I get all that.
Yeah.
But you know, this group of players, the ownership model could change, or probably will change. You don't know what overhaul of players there would be. So I wonder if those two statements actually do live apart anyway.
Well, we shall see by the end of the play today. I just think that, you know, the modern word optics, the optics would not look good if Rangers did not win that match.
How are the optics at Tynecastle, David Friel?
The optics, Gordon, are not very good. Hearts nil, Dundee 1. I was going to say the half-time whistle was greeted by boos, but there's been sporadic booing for the last probably half hour. Hugh mentioned the word toxic. That's what this place will be if Hearts don't turn around. Simon Murray, 22 goals of the season. He's given Dundee the lead. And I think it's fair to say the Tynecastle natives are very, very restless. It's more misery for Neil Critchley so far. His team have had chances, but they've been pretty average. And this is a big second half for them. Game took a wee while to get going. 17 minutes for the first real chance. Jim McCart bursts forward, failed Elton Kabangu inside the box. Should have done better, dragged his low shot wide. Dundee didn't offer much in attack to begin with, but they did have a really good chance in 24 minutes. Ryan Astley, not Rick, stole the ball off Blair Spittle, drove into the box. He could have slipped a pass to Murray, opted to shoot. It was deflected wide. Dundee keeper Trevor Carson didn't have much to do for that first half hour, but then that changed in 31 minutes. McCart again created the chance. Superb cross of George Grant. He hooked a volley towards the bottom corner. Looked a goal all the way, but Trevor Carson made a big, big save. Minutes later, Dundee missed a sitter to take the lead. Josh Mulligan, he's been really, really good. Linked with Rangers during the week, and no wonder. Raced down the right, picked out the unmarked Seb Palmer Holden. He was 6 yards out. He looked certain to score, but headed wide. Hearts almost took advantage of that. Cammy Devlin, it was a cross-come shot, come back off the post. George Grant pushed the rebound. He was right next to Trevor Carson, should have scored. Instead, the keeper made a save, but Simon Murray didn't make any mistake with the Dundee opener. Tiffany's cross wasn't dealt with. This was in 38 minutes. Jamie McCart headed the ball out to Simon Murray, took a touch and finished. Half-time, Hearts nil, Dundee 1, and a big second half for Neil Critchley and his players.
Half-time in Paisley, Andrew McLean.
St Mirren 1, Rangers 1, the half-time score. A game really lacking quality, but we did get two late goals in the half, one for either side. Rangers really haven't been great though, and you can just tell by looking at Barry Ferguson on the touchline. He spent the whole time turning back in frustration to his bench, shouting at his players. He is not happy. The teams are level, and you'd say on the basis of play, St Mirren, you know, should be level, if not ahead in this game, because they have been the better side. But as I say, pretty slack from Rangers. Probably both teams overall, neither team with any real decent passages of play to cut the other open. St Mirren into the Rangers box a couple of times, but were making the wrong decision. At the other end, Cyril Dessau's got onto a ball over the top from Diamandi. Took it down well, but no composure, just blasted it way over the bar. Rangers looked nervy as well, passing out from the back. Led to a big St Mirren chance. Liam Kelly passing it straight to Mikael Mandron. He had a good bit of time and a good bit of the goal to aim at as well. Probably should have scored, but he put that one wide. Rangers continued to frustrate their manager and their fans by giving the ball away, looking pretty weak in duels as well. But managed to get the opener 42 minutes in. Raskin finding Dessers inside the box. He took a touch, shot early low past Zach Hemming for the opener. St Mirren will have been disappointed at going behind, given the way that they've battled against Rangers so far today. It looked as if they'd go in behind at the break, but Mark O'Hara made sure they didn't. A long throw into the box, falling to him, and he drilled it well past Liam Kelly, which means at half time it's St Mirren 1, Rangers 1.
I wonder what Barry Ferguson will have up his sleeve at the break. It's also half time in Dave Galloway's game. I think he was next through in the one at Pittodrie.
Yeah, half time, Aberdeen 0, Hibs 0. Gordon, a lively encounter from the word go, this one. The hosts started brightly, but Boyle went close for the visitors, shooting low and hard from the edge of the box. It went just wide. Campbell should have done better after he beat his free kick to the back post, heading narrowly past. He really ought to have hit the target. At the other end, Bushiri with two great blocks to deal with shots by Gay and Keskinen as Aberdeen pushed for the opener. And Nisbet looked set for a simple finish at the back post when Clarkson delivered a good free kick, but a brilliant clearance denied him. The Dons starting to get on top, and Nisbet turns neatly in the box, but his shot didn't trouble Smith, and Keskinen powered towards goal. However, the ball evaded him at the last moment. But Hibs had a goal disallowed after 42 minutes from a corner kick. The ball went over the line off home defender Knuster, but it was ruled out for a foul on Mitov. It's been a decent game, plenty of openings, but sharpness lacking in both boxes. That's why its goal is at the interval. Aberdeen 0, Hibs 0.
Well, it's a big game at Pittodrie. Who have we not spoken to yet? Here's Rugby Park and Roger Hanna.
Yeah, the break has come. Marlott 1, Ross County nil. It didn't look as if it was going to be a great day for Killy. They lost their captain, Brad Lyons, to an injury in the warm-up. David Watson starting in his place with the armband going to Stuart Finlay. They then had to defend two county corners inside the first 60 seconds here. But once they got into their stride, they were definitely the better team and probably deserved their half-time advantage. Danny Armstrong's deliveries from open play and from set pieces really causing problems for the county defence. At first, an in-swinging corner from the right-hand side. County needed three attempts to get away. Then after Casper Lapata had fouled Bruce Anderson on the near side, on the left, Armstrong a left footed in swinging delivery, and again the Staggies somehow managed to get the ball away and out of danger. And Killy, their best chance, Bobby Wales beating two players coming off the inside left channel, left shot blocked the edge of the box. It then fell kindly for Armstrong on the right hand side, and his curling left foot shot just flew inches past Jordan Amisa's far post. You felt an opening was coming for the host, and then Julian Ive in 36 minutes, and unsurprisingly Armstrong was the architect. The right wing back getting the ball out of his feet on the far side to Killy right, turning on to his left foot, a great delivery, and there was Bruce Anderson coming in at the back post to reach it and head past and squeeze a header past Amisa in at the near post. County's only real response, Ronan Hale flashing a shot across the face of Kieran O'Hara's goal just before the break after an exchange of passes with Akil Wright.
five across the back for County, three defensive minded midfield players in front of them for County. There's an enormous gap to Hale and Jordan White. They need to show more attacking intent in the second half, because as things stand at the start of the bottom six, Gordon, they're in the relegation playoff place. It's Killie 1, County 0.
We will do a full round up of the half time scores and the answers to the first half teaser when we return.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
One more halftime report to give you. It comes from Fir Park. Fraser Wishart has been watching on.
Yes, it's Motherwell 2, St Johnstone 1. I said before the game it'd be nervy for the Motherwell fans, or so it's turned out. They were down to an early goal from Mackenzie Kirk, when just as we heard the news of Dundee and Kelly taking the lead, two goals in less than 90 seconds have put Motherwell ahead from the best player on the pitch, Callum Slattery, and John Katrumbis, the 6 minute opener for St Johnstone. A really good goal. Josh McPake has done well on the left hand side, used his pace. It looked like the ball was going to go out, but he slid in and cut the ball back 12 yards out. Mackenzie Kirk coming in, side footed finish, but powered it into the top right hand corner of the net. The goal gave St Johnstone real confidence. They were knocking it about well on this slick surface. 20 minutes passed, you could sense the Motherwell fans begin to worry. The quiet as the team hadn't had an effort on goal till Harry Payton fired over from the edge of the box to give them some hope. Then the tempo of St Johnstone's game dropped and Motherwell began to have the better of the game. Slattery was a yard wide with a volley, a really good touch to his chest, didn't quite get the connection. Then he brought a good save from Fisher, who was diving to his left to push the ball out for a corner. Then Stephen Duke McKenna should have done better for Saints. Lee Miller robbed in midfield. Josh McPake set up Duke McKenna. He didn't make good connection and the ball was cleared. The Motherwell fans, a few boos and general frustration at their team, but in football it's amazing. It just takes a moment to change the whole mood. In 39 minutes, the same fans were on their feet. Tony Watt made a really good run on the left-hand side. He cut the ball back to Slattery, who sliding powered a side-foot finish, first time low into the net from 16 yards. Then a minute later, it was 2-1. Tony Watt again, a provider from left-hand side. We've seen him throughout his career make these runs into the inside left position. Similar position on the park, this time outside of his foot, right across the six-yard box. And Johnny Katrumbis playing at centre-back, but somehow found himself in the six-yard box. Actually nearly missed it, but it went in and off a defender on the line. And those goals have given Motherwell a real platform now to get a vital 3 points. For St Johnstone, they've got nothing to lose. They must have a go in the second half. They need a win. Half-time at Fir Park, Motherwell 2, St Johnstone 1.
Thanks to Fraser. Let's do a round up of the scores. Of course, the full time result is Dundee United 0, Celtic 5. At the break, Aberdeen 0, Hibs 0, Hearts 0, Dundee 1, Kilmarnock 1, Ross County 0, Motherwell 2, St Johnstone 1, and St Mirren 1, Rangers 1. In the Championship, Ayr 1, Queen's Park 2, Dunfermline 0, Airdrie 0, Hamilton Accies 0, Livingston 2, and Raith Rovers 1, Greenock Morton 1. In League 1, it's Alloa 0, Montrose 1, Cove Rangers 2, Kilty Hearts 0, Dumbarton 1, Annan Athletic 0, Inverness Cali Thistle 2, Arbroath 0, and Queen of the South 0, Stenhouse Muir 0. In League 2, it's Bonnyrigg Rose 0, Spartans 0, Edinburgh City 0, Forfar 0, Elgin City 2, Stranraer 0, Peterhead 1, East Fife 0, and Stirling Albion 0, Clyde 2. If the English Premier League is your thing, it finished. Chelsea 1, Everton 0. At the break, Brighton 1, West Ham 0, Newcastle 1, Ipswich 0, Southampton 1, Fulham 0, and Wolves 1, Leicester 0. Hugh Keevans, let's round this off while we can.
The first half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The last three Celtic players and the last three Rangers players to score post-split league goals but are no longer at the club are, for Celtic, Matt O'Reilly, Kyogo Furuhashi, and for Rangers, Todd Cantwell, Scott Wright, and Antonio Colak.
Well done if you got them all right, and many of you did. Even Mark Wilson and Gordon DL got it right. But third place on the podium was Scott McScott. Took a few goes, but he still got there in quick enough time to make it a third place finish. Jamie Dock was second, and Igaman Prop was the winner, the gold medalist. We have a Who Am I, and the second halves are coming up next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Back underway for the second half of the 3 o'clock games. It is the same 11 for Rangers, unchanged. You wonder if Barry Ferguson was impressed with what he saw. You also wonder, Hugh, what the what the message really is when everyone's in this state of treading water. You know, can Barry Ferguson, can he go in and